This is Michael Tribe of Gale Force, and you're listening to Wildman and Steve.
You are about to listen to the intersection of faith, talk, and music. The Wildman and Steve Show starts right now.
Previously recorded live on Classic Christian Rock Radio, Wildman.
And there is nothing like talking about yourself in third person. As I've told you before, that's how you sound cool in real life. Or at least that's an attempt to sound cool. So anyhow, I have with me a good friend of mine. We said before he's a mother from a brother from another. Messed that one up. Brother from another mother. And Chris Turner, all the way from Texas, joins me on the line. Now, if you don't know who Chris is, if you need to find out, you can go to wildmanandsteve.com, click on Wildman Music. You'll see the video. He's the first face you see in the Wildman video, Mr. Clark Barr.
And thank you, Ezra, for that report from Samaria. In other news, we have word of one who many are calling a prophet, preaching near Jerusalem. It's rumored he's wearing fur. Is that in season? Right. Okay. And eating honey. Let's go live to the Jordan River, where Jacob and Jeremiah have more on this wild man.
At him, he is just the voice with nothing else.
So Chris, how are you doing today? And welcome to the program.
I'm doing great. Well, man, thanks for having me on. It's quite the honor.
Oh, I'm glad to have you here. This is great. Really encouraged by having you here. And so to get started with, one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on is because we connected organically, I would put it that way. And I can remember before the White Cross Blood Good album, the concert that they had, that was 2 years now? Yeah. And so when you came up to me, I didn't know who you were. You sent it out on Twitter. You said, hey, are you and Steve going to be at this concert? And I said, yes. Is it good? I'll see you in person. I remember you coming up and you smiling, shaking my hand and said, hey, wild man. I looked at you and I was trying to figure it out. And then you smiled and oh, you're Chris. And then from then on, we just hit it off because we both have the same color hair, I think. I think that's what the biggest reason was, right?
Yeah, the olds, we need to stick together. So definitely the color hair helped identify us to one another after our long friendship on Twitter.
Yes, yes, which is X, by the way, now, so we can't say Twitter anymore.
It'll always be Twitter to me.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. So what brought us together was our style in music, our interest in music, as well as faith. And which was what you're going to find at a White Cross Blood Good concert where we were at. And so talk to us a little bit today as a music fan. What got you into this music?
Well, from a musical perspective, I really started with my father. So my dad was really big into, what would now be considered classical country music. I was raised on Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, who I am named after. He was my dad's favorite singer. And also the Beatles and Elvis were really big in my house. So Elvis was kind of my first taste of rock and roll growing up. And once I hit middle school, a good friend in middle school introduced me to AC/DC and Iron Maiden and early Motley Crue. And so that's when the metal kind of took hold for me. And roughly about the same time, a new grocery store opened up in our town, pretty close to our house, with a little strip mall attached. And there was an independent Christian bookstore in this strip mall. And I credit the outstanding owners and staff of that place, whose name I wish I could remember, for their tolerance of a young teenager, their patience with me, spending lots of time in their store. But they had a music section that was just incredible for the time. And they had vinyl and cassettes that you could, you know, listen to there in the store. They had like five or six different music listening stations set up with headphones. And that's where I discovered Petra and Stryper and Bloodgood. Detonation was real big at the time, I think. And then later on, White Cross. So all the bands that I came to love early on, it kind of formed the foundation of my fandom in Christian rock and Christian metal, were discovered at that little store. So that's kind of how it all came together for me growing up.
Wow. It's I mean, there's always going to be similarities when we talk about the same era, because I have some similar connections there as well, because I remember, in fact, the Christian bookstore in town was the one that I would go to, and they had the option where you could put the cassette in and put the headphones on and listen to the demos and all of that. And I remember one time the manager finally coming over to me after a while, and I quote, "Are you finding one you like yet?" Like, in other words, it's time for you to go, little kid.
Yeah, that's why I made a point to say the staff was very patient and tolerant of me, because I spent a lot of time at that store and not a lot of money spent on any one occasion, because it was basically my allowance and whatever money I made for mowing lawns around the neighborhood that got spent on music. So,
yeah. Wow. Hey, everybody. Wildman here.
And this is Steve.
And you're listening to Classic Christian Rock Ray. Steve, we were supposed to say it together.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, buddy.
Okay, let's try again. Hey, everybody. Wildman here.
And this is Steve.
And you're listening to Classic Christian Rock. Steve, what is the problem?
I just don't like how you're doing this.
How I'm doing what?
Hello, everyone. Wildman here. It's like, hey, this is my show, and Steve is just my sidekick.
Really? You're going to go there now? After all we've been through? The amazing artists we've interviewed, over 140 podcast episodes, 20,000 downloads? Really? After 3 years of Mr. Segway? Really? You're going to go there now?
Okay, I guess you're right.
Okay, let's try this again. Hey, everyone.
Steve here, and you're listening to Classic Christian Rock Radio.
Wow. Just wow. So talk to me about why you think this is, that here we are in 2024, and we're talking about the bands and the music that we listened to over 30 years ago when they were peaking. Why is it that we have not put all that aside and just moved on with our lives into quote unquote adulthood? Like, why are we still these incredible fans even at this age?
I think it has something to do with just the power of music in general and how it affects us. You know, music is kind of, we think about it today, is a relatively new phenomenon in the history of mankind. And, you know, radio is a relatively new invention. We're looking at the whole span of human history. And so we can talk about, you know, our generation, generations before us, all having a certain taste in music, and our children and our grandchildren will all have a certain taste in music because of what was popular, I guess, or what just affected them in a certain way at the time that they were, I guess, most impressionable in terms of music. And I think that's what it was for me. Part of it was a little bit of rebellion. Like, probably my most rebellious thing is not listening to the same music as my parents. I think that's the way it is for a lot of people our age. which just like it was the same thing for our parents. You know, my mom and dad grew up, came of age in the 60s. And so, you know, their taste in music ran, you know, counter to my grandparents' taste in music to a degree. And I think that has something to do with it as well. So, you know, my mom was none too happy with my taste in rock and metal. And then I actually asked her to sit down one day and listen to some of the lyrics of Stryper. And she could complain about how they looked, but she certainly couldn't complain about the content.
Yes, I'm telling you, that's so reminiscent of my experience as well, because I was finally, after a long time, able to talk my parents into Petra. Because, and justifiably so, and Steve and I have talked about it on the Wild Man and Steve show several times about why it was such a controversy, because it was a lot of sincerity in the parents' role of,
yeah,
all they saw was evil out in the rock and roll world.
Yep.
Evil and sex and all the stuff that they were doing. And they don't want your kids to be involved in that. And so it was hard for them to differentiate when the term Christian rock, so to speak, came out. Mm. There were so many saying there's no such thing as Christian rock. That doesn't exist. And it wasn't until my parents heard Petra's Captured in Time and Space altar call that they, oh, wow, they really are in it. But man, they could never stomach Stryper. Never. Even all the way through my high school years, I was not allowed to listen to Stryper, for not in that house. And the biggest reason was what you just said, their look. When they saw, oh my God, there's no way that's a Christian, you know, all of that happening. When I saw White Cross in concert, and this was on their, I believe it was their In the Kingdom tour, I was able to talk to him after concert, as usual, and I saw advertised that Star Song was going to come out with a instructional video from Rex. And so I was pretty much salivating as soon as I saw that, because I was a guitarist and everything else. I did get one of his books that he had on the one tour, like beginning scales, and he was teaching you some modes and teaching you how to play Nagasaki. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to play that for 30 some years, still can't match what he did and what he does. Incredible solo, folks. If you've never heard Nagasaki, it's one of the greatest solos ever played. So I asked him, I said, hey, Rex, in the middle of him signing his autograph, I said, hey, when's that instructional video going to come out? He gives me this look like deer in headlights. Literally, I remember it verbatim. And he didn't quite know what to say. And then he paused and he goes, well, Star Song is kind of behind in their production of things right now. So we really don't have a date on that yet. And okay, on and on it goes. But lately, and I don't even know if he's aware of this, but somebody posted that instructional video on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
And I started watching it here recently. Now, what I found interesting was he focuses on scales and focuses on, because, you know, he teaches, he's taught over 500 or some students and all that. But in music scales, he talks about how you can play a scale in this position on the guitar and play that same scale up earlier, use the same notes, and then rearrange the notes. And for all you non-musicians out there, basically what that means is the music that you hear is within an umbrella of a key, like your key. This is the key of G. This is the key of G minor, whatever it is. And there are certain notes that fit within that key.
Mm-hmm.
Notes outside of that key, they don't fit. They clash. Okay. Now, sometimes you can have the dissonance like Hendrix did for emphasis purpose. If you have a purpose, dissonance can sound fine. But it's interesting to me how you look at everything. And to me, that seems like it's an example of life in general and how God created everything. Because God created everything to fit. And I think when we mess up is when we're not fitting in the way that God has designed us to live. Because if you think about how God has designed us to live, he designed us to be completely dependent upon him.
Mm-hmm.
Before the fall of man, there was no thought of Adam and Eve stepping outside of the umbrella of God. There was not even a concern. You know, I've often thought about what they would say if you would stop Adam and Eve someday and you would say, hey, why are you serving this God? They would look at you and say, what do you, I don't even understand the question.
Right.
This is just what I do naturally. So when we try to step outside of that fitting, outside of that box, and try to do things on our own, that's when anxiety comes in. That's when, and by the way, anxiety is like all over the world right now. That's the hot topic everywhere. But it's the whole idea of how things need to fit. And I think that it's important for all of us to understand what that means for our life in general, not just in music, but in everything. How does it fit? So what do you think about that, Chris?
Yeah, you know, the picture that you just brought up of Adam and Eve, you know, I go back to, you know, talks about them walking in the garden with God. And I just think, you know, God created Adam for work. Like, he gave Adam jobs there in the garden. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. it wasn't like Adam was just living this life of luxury, laying around and, you know, having grapes fed to him by, you know, other animals or some such. You know, he had a purpose. See, there were things that he was doing. He was toiling, but it wasn't a toil of hardship that we think of today, because like you said, he was doing it in complete and utter harmony with his creator. And so, yeah, I've definitely felt that myself, that anxiety, you know, when you stray in whatever particular area of life, and then something happens to kind of give you that little shot to the head that you need sometimes to go, oh yeah, I need to, you know, get back to talking to God. Need to get back into the Word. Need to, you know, get with some friends who can help set me straight. And then that kind of dissipates as the more you get back in harmony with your Creator.
Yeah. And that, folks, is What the Fuzz is all about.
Down the four-lane highway, how could this be? Headlights shining back at me. I was driving the wrong way. Down the four-lane highway, how could this be? Headlights shining back at me. Times like this we have to wonder what God is trying to say. Choices we make impact our lives. We could always turn the wrong way.
All right, so Chris, a few minutes here left with you. Want to ask you, talk to us about Clark Barr. Because that is your famous acting character role now. I'm sure you've gotten many calls. Can you do Clark Barr for me? You know, something like that. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you've just joined us, we are referring to the Wild Man video. That if you go to wildmanandsteve.com, click on Wild Man Music, you will see the Wild Man video, the title track of the EP. And Chris, I asked Chris to do the intro as the anchor man. So, Chris, talk to us about the character of Clark Barr and the intro and all of that that you contributed to this video.
So Clark Barr came about because the name kind of came after the persona, I think, to a degree. So there's definitely a little bit of me there in Clark Barr. And you know, having grown up in, at a time when news anchors were kind of front and center, anytime you needed to know anything, and turn on the TV for the news, I guess they're just bits and pieces of personalities, deliveries, that kind of thing that I assimilated over the years that kind of came out at that time. And after we'd recorded and I'd sent you the video and you came back and said, okay, well, you know, what do you want to be called? Like, do you want to use your name or do you want to use something else? And I said, I think I want to use something else. So it was a situation of, well, what name was I going to use? And Clark instantly came to me, and because of, you know, Superman and Clark Kent. And so I thought, well, that's kind of cool. You know, he's one of my favorite superheroes, so I could stick with Clark. And the bar part came from the movie You've Got Mail with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. And there's a scene in the movie, and I'm sorry, folks, it's been out for over 20 years, so spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. There's a scene in the movie that they're talking about, you know, Tom Hanks's online handle. The way these two got together is emailing back and forth through America Online, AOL. And his handle is NY512. And so they're trying to figure out, like, what does that mean? And Meg Ryan, over this little snack that they're having, says, 512 people who think he looks like Clark Gable. And Tom Hanks fires back with, 512 people who thinks he looks like a Clark Barr. And that line has just always kind of stuck in my head. So once I decided on the first name Clark, Clark Barr just naturally came along with it. So,
well, great. Now, have you acted before?
You know, back in high school and college, some stuff for church, but beyond that, no.
Wow. Okay. Because you did a great job on that intro. And one of the things I appreciated about it, and I think Steve and Paul, the other ones in the video as well, all of us are of the same demeanor, that if somebody asks us to do something like that, not only do we have no problem agreeing to it, but we have no problem doing our best to come across as the experienced actor, as if we've done this for years. But the way that you introduced the song Wild Man, the way you did that, all of that was incredible. And I want to thank you for that.
My pleasure.
I think that made the video, to be honest, especially that at the very end when you're saying, for this, Paul's Wild Man, you know, just said it perfectly. So tell us, Chris, what advice do you have to our listeners out there regarding the music that they listen to, or just what do you recommend? If somebody's listening, and I've had some that have listened and that are new to Christian rock, especially the ones that have only listened to the secular that's out there. And a lot of times they hear the word, the phrase Christian rock, and they think, oh, that's, you know, they can try, but they can't be a Whitesnake or whoever else. And, so what is your advice to people when it comes to that?
Well, when it comes to, I guess I got two thoughts. First, if you're kind of new to the genre and you're looking for bands, I'd point you first probably to Bob Beeman's website, Sanctuary International. They've got some resources on there highlighting pretty much every Christian metal band you may have heard of and probably a lot you have not heard of. And if there's a sound you're looking for that you haven't been able to find yet, they could probably help you track it down. So that'd be probably the first piece of advice I'd offer. Second, once you do find those bands that you enjoy, find every way to support them. Buy their albums. Don't just, you know, listen to them via whatever your music streaming service of choice is. Go to their concerts. Buy merchandise, because that's really the only way these guys are making money these days. You know, this genre is not one that's promoted by the record labels. Pretty much every Christian rock and metal artist these days, with a few exceptions, are independent artists. So the biggest way you can support them is go to their live shows and buy their merchandise.
Very good. Very good. That was sanctuaryinternational.com. He's speaking with Bob Beeman, who is the metal pastor of everybody, I would say. So last couple questions here for you, Chris, before you go.
Sure.
The first one is, we're talking about music, and I'm just curious, have you ever, or are you a musician of any type?
I am not a musician of any kind. I could probably help out with backing vocals, but that'd be the extent of it.
And you never have done any music of any type?
No, not outside of choir for church and school.
Okay. So. Well, that's music. That's music, yep. Right? Here's my question for you then. If you could have, or should have, whichever one you want to use, which one would you want to be? What musical instrument would you play if you look back on your life and say, man, I wish I could do that?
Well, you know, my mom did put me in band in middle school. I played the bass clarinet through middle school and high school. And then that was the kind of the end of my musical career so far as playing an instrument was concerned. The one other than the guitar, because of the whole love of rock and metal, the one instrument that I think I would go back and learn if I had the chance would be the piano. It's always kind of fascinated me how versatile it is. And you hear it across musical genres being mm-hmm. used. So that'd be my choice.
Okay. All right. The piano. So, you know, as they say, it's never too late.
Never too late.
So get started right now. Now, you did say, I did catch that, other than the guitar, right? So is guitar technically at first and then piano is a close second, or is piano over guitar for you? Be careful how you answer that, because I might just end the conversation right now.
I think, Wild Man, in the vein of our friendship and the purpose of this show, I would have to go with the guitar first.
Of course. Absolutely. Yes. Well, hey, I want to thank you for joining me tonight, and thank you for what you did on the video. And I'm thankful for our friendship, the way we were able to connect. And I think we're going to see more and more of that. As long as BMI is still around there in Versailles, Ohio, there's going to be more and more people connecting, because you can't find many people close to you that have the same interest you do in anything, let alone a narrow niche market that it is now of Christian rock and metal music.
Absolutely.
So thank you for joining me today, sir.
My pleasure. Well, man, thanks for having me.
The Wild Man and Steve Show is now partnering with New Release Today. Find out more about them at newreleasetoday.com. And don't forget to check out our website, where you can also leave us a review at wildmanandsteve.com.
Sounds like rock and roll to me.